One of the things that Oliver just referred to, Neeraj, was the issue of platinums. And of course, you know, for example, in ovarian cancer, that becomes a really critical issue. They use it as maintenance after platinum. In breast cancer, not quite as clear what the story is. Of course, platinums are already being used in pancreatic cancers. What do we know right now about platinums in prostate cancer, Neeraj, particularly as it relates to genomic subclasses?
Obviously, we do not have level one evidence from big randomized clinical trial comparing platinum versus standard of care in patients who have metastatic castrate-resistant prostate cancer with DNA repair defects or homologous recombination defects. Having said that, we all know based on our anecdotal experiences and, you know, large case series that platinum may be effective in these patients. PARP inhibitors are not available easily in the clinic. It's extremely difficult to get PARP inhibitors off label for all our patients. So when patients are progressing on standard novel hormonal therapies and they have homologous recombination defects in the tumor, I think this is a very viable option in my view. If they are, of course, if they are healthy enough to tolerate platinum-based therapies.
So Emmanuel, what about platinums? I sort of have this vague memory of this drug. I think it was satraplatin. But what do we actually know clinically about, you know, responsiveness to platinums? Do we have much data in prostate cancer based on, again, genomic status?
You're going to date me now, but in 2009, there was a JCO publication with Cora Sternberg and Oliver Sartor using an oral platinum agent called satraplatin. There was some activity there in about 10 to 15% of patients. There was a slight PFS benefit versus placebo and no overall survival benefit, if I remember correctly. And the takeaway from that study for me was, and in those days we had no idea about genomics, of course, is that there is a clear subset of patients that do benefit quite profoundly from these agents, but at the time we had no idea who they were. And unfortunately, tissues and blood samples were not banked in such a way that we could go back and ask that question now. I think the question of platinums in prostate cancer is complicated, Neil. It's complicated because there might be a differential response between BRCA1, 2 and platinum agents and ATM with platinum agents. This is my own personal experience, not published. I also recently heard a lecture from Judy Garber in the breast cancer world that they had hypothesized that the BRCA1, 2 deficient breast cancers would be more platinum sensitive compared to taxanes. And my understanding is a number of studies that have been unpublished and published have shown this is not the case in breast cancer. There really isn't a clear benefit over a taxane using a platinum agent in a BRCA2 deficient breast cancer. So that was disappointing to me because we all thought that breast would lead by example and we could follow. Of course, they're separate diseases, so it still could be the case in prostate cancer that these patients benefit. And the third complicating factor is in prostate cancer, at least I don't ever use a platinum by itself. It's usually in combination with another agent such as a taxane. So what I've typically done in the past is if I think a patient has clinical features that would suggest more platinum sensitivity, for example, a more neuroendocrine or anaplastic or small cell type carcinoma, then I would use docetaxel as the backbone and I would add a platinum, typically carboplatin. But I typically don't use either carbo or cis on its own in a metastatic prostate cancer patient.
It's really interesting.